listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Recently, we took The Coffee Hour on the road to Nashville, not because we're great artists, but because we get to talk with great artists while attending the Sing Conference, hosted by Keith and Kristen Getty. The Sing Conference encourages congregational singing and hymns with deep theology, and we have the opportunity to meet with artists, songwriters, and hymn writers. And today, we get to share with you one more encouraging conversation that we get to enjoy at the conference. Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University, Nebraska. You can learn more about Concordia University, Nebraska by visiting cune.edu. Our guest today is Sandra McCracken, singer and songwriter, and I think one of the voices and writers that has probably gotten me interested most in modern hymns, and it goes all the way back to the early days of Indelible Grace. So I think that's probably where I first heard your music, and I have just enjoyed your music greatly, and it's a privilege just to have the opportunity to sit down and talk with you. So thanks for being our guest today.
Thank you, Andy. Thanks, Sarah. Good to be with you guys.
So our listeners is probably, I would say mostly, safe to say, Lutheran audience, not all, but many Lutherans in our audience. So share with us a little bit about your tradition that you come from.
Yeah, I grew up in St. Louis also, which lots of different churches, had some connections at different churches, Covenant Church, and then Twin Oaks Church. And from there, I started singing. So then I would visit all these other churches and do like an offertory song, or like get to know people and their music teams. So I guess that has continued even to this day, where even though I grew up in kind of these Presbyterian circles, it just keeps like rippling outward to get to see different expressions of the church through different denominations and ways of singing, especially hymns. I've loved the hymns, but yeah, so that's kind of where I've been coming from in as far as church background.
Tell us more about hymns. How have they been a part of your life? You obviously love them.
Yeah.
Tell us more about that.
Well, I like, I probably have too many words most of the time, and I like words. And so I remember, you know, paying attention to song lyrics from when I was really little, just all kinds of song lyrics, anything on the radio. But especially the hymns. I think the hymns were one of the places, other than in school or in literature class, where you would hear poetry and you would hear all the rhymes and just what that did for me and my imagination. It was like it opened something up. So alongside a desire to learn music and melodies, there was this love for the text and the stories that were being sung. And the hymnal, I mean, it's always, I gotta say, like it's there. So if the sermon's really long, you just pull that hymnal out. You got some great poetry.
Oh, you're giving away my secret. Oh,
I mean, no. I did notice that from when I was young. So I was drawn to it, and I was really drawn to like there was just emotion in the Psalms. In the songs, and the way, and then later I saw that in the Psalms as well. But like the two different places where words help us to understand how we're feeling and how we see the world.
Yeah.
So you have a great appreciation for hymns and the work of other songwriters and hymn writers. When did writing become an interest for you?
Probably before I realized it. I think I was dabbling in writing, both from personal journal entries that would then I would take over to the piano after I was like maybe 9 or 10. I would bring something that I wrote down, I'd bring it over to the piano, and all of a sudden there's like a chord on top of it and a little chord, you know, like I write notes over it. And so it was very gradual. And then I think putting all those things together, along with learning an instrument and singing in choirs and things like that, I think it was a swirl of things that supported more of an interest in hymns and how they are these, you know, kind of a shared, they kind of give us a shared identity in some ways as people of faith, because they're things that we can, I'm preaching to the choir. You guys know this already. But I will say there are so many people out there that don't really, even right now, that don't know what you mean by hymns. They don't sing hymns. They don't really, that seems like something just from a few generations ago, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I have an attachment to them, and I still feel like there is a great place for them in our culture.
Yeah. Why is that important to you now? I mean, this is a huge part of your life. Music is a huge part of what you, who you are. Why is it important for you to keep writing and singing and being involved in hymnody and that music of the church?
Well, I just keep thinking of things to write about or being inspired to do so. And if that dries up or I don't, then we'll probably do something else. But so far, it just keeps going, you know? I just keep having ideas and interest in it. And so I'm grateful for that because it's been a steady part of the story of my life, right? Mm-hmm. It's almost like these little memories of songs that are attached to experiences and seasons. And we all go through all these seasons of life, and usually there are songs attached to that. So, yeah, I think it'll continue is my guess.
Yeah.
Speaking of seasons and experiences in life that inspire and encourage, you, I remember, worked on a project of songs, particularly for children. Tell me a little bit about the creativity, how the creativity for that was sparked, and a little bit more about that project.
That's a, yeah, that's a great segue. I mean, thinking about one of those seasons for me was, moving from a season of being footloose and fancy free, you know, just playing songs, throwing my guitar in the back of my car and going to play a gig, going on to the next gig, right? And then you fast forward and I'm married, I have children, and then I'm like, well, what's going to happen with this freedom of being able to write songs? And so you begin to think about, well, what are the songs we sing now? What are the songs in this stage of life? What are the not just my own songs, but just what's the soundtrack? And so with young children, I started thinking more about what would be songs we could sing together, and how do I convey big ideas about who God is and how much He loves us to my kids at different ages. I have three children, and so at any point, you know, you might answer some of those questions in new ways, right? Mm-hmm. You might put words around it in new ways, depending on what questions they're asking. And so we had a project called Rain for Roots that was a collection of songs put together by some of the moms. And actually, there were like moms and dads that were kind of singing on those records and thinking about this together in the early days of Rain for Roots. And Sally Lloyd-Jones, who wrote the Jesus Storybook Bible, was the first spark of the project. We took a little fuzzy Bible called the Hug a Bible, which had these little simple poems, and we set it to music. So it's called Big Stories for Little Ones. And that one was, the first effort. And then we had several albums after that. So
what does music look like now in your family? Because your kids aren't tiny anymore. Mm-hmm. What does that look like for you and your family now?
Well, I learn music from them too, I guess, at this point. Like they're bringing their own songs into the home and into the, you know, onto my playlists, and I'm learning things left and right, you know, like songs that I maybe hadn't heard. And I think I still have some of my favorites that, you know, even from like childhood, I'll still listen to John Denver, and I still listen to all the, you know, all the Dylan records and things like that. But also adding in, there's more new music than ever. So I think it's changed in the sense that there's just been, I think there are more music, more people listening to music and more people making music, including hymns and settings of psalms and scripture. And so it's almost overwhelming. So I think the challenge is finding those points of connection where you can really sit down and listen to it and take it in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, in addition to writing, you also are a performer, you're an artist, you're a singer. Tell us about some of the fun you've gotten to have as a singer, and I know you have some upcoming events as well. We'll talk about that in just a minute. But what does a typical concert look like with Sandra McCracken?
That's a great question right now, because I'm in the middle of a tour. But then along with the tour, I'm doing, it's mostly weekends, but I'm doing some worship leading with women's conferences with Lifeway. And we've done two of those this year. We've got two more coming up in September. And Jen Wilkin is the teacher, and she's teaching on wisdom. And it is just like such a joy to gather and sing full voice hymns with a lot of women of all ages. And so that's coming up. And then in the middle of a tour celebrating the 10-year anniversary of the Psalms album. So that's like playing old songs that are 10 years old, but with new joy from seeing, man, this is still true. It was true then. It's true again. Like remembering. And it's not just nostalgia. It's like, it's when you're singing scripture and when you're singing hymns, you are entering into this story of faith. So it doesn't have to be like something that was just so immediate and so in the moment. And I think it pushes back against all those, you know, all those impulses we have in our society to just like need some new shiny thing. So I'm loving the old stuff in a new season and seeing how it is made new as we sing it together in both these cases, like both singing hymns and singing the Psalms.
Yeah. Oh, you said you're in the middle of a tour. Tell us about the tour.
Yeah, so the tour is called the Welcome Home Tour, and John Guerra has been out on most of the dates with me and a few other special guests, and I guess that would be not playing the entire Psalms record from start to finish, but quite a bit of it,
yeah.
You know, and trying to like get in as many stories and memories as possible in one night. So it's been really good. We played a benefit last night and played in Kerrville, Texas, which was a real,
yeah.
It was just really special to be there. That was with, John was there, and this was kind of a break from the tour, but because they experienced all this flooding and devastation, we went through and drove down near the river and just saw firsthand. You just see, you can see some of it, but then you realize each one of these like trees represents, you know, the loss of lives and all the people that are in this area. And so you just wonder when you come into a time like that, and when we go through seasons of our life that are unexpected and sometimes devastating like that. And then you're like, what do we sing? What do we do together? But last night singing like, Give Me Jesus, and singing We'll Feast, and singing some funny songs too, and just like being together in it. I think it's like kind of taking it as it is and trying to be honest about it so that we know that God is with us in the middle of it. We're not trying to pretend, but we're also trying to hold to what we believe when we don't always understand it.
Yeah. So. Absolutely.
And you added one more to that tour,
yes.
Right? Just because you love us so much, right?
Yes.
That you're coming to St. Louis, which is homecoming for you.
I'm so excited that this came together. Yeah, we're playing at the Sheldon Theater, and they've just done a renovation down there. I haven't been since they reopened, but they'll be reopening, and then we play on November 1st. And this will be really special, too, because Sarah Groves is a longtime friend. She's joining for this show, and she has family roots in Missouri as well. So it'll be kind of like a homecoming for both of us. So I hope to see both of you guys there. It would be such a joy to bring that full circle.
That'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And we'll share information about that. That's also on your website.
Yeah.
And that is sandramccracken.com.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Very good. There are two C's. Oh, actually, there are three.
Three.
MCC. RACKEN.
We'll put the link in the notes.
Yeah, we'll put the link in the notes so you don't have to try to spell that based on how I pronounced it.
That's right. The phonetics.
Well, Sandra, thank you so much for spending the time with us. We're looking forward to having you back in St. Louis in the near future at the beginning of November. And we just appreciate you taking time to share these stories with us here on the Coffee Hour.
Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
At Concordia University, Nebraska, discover a distinctly Christian community that equips students to live by faith with courage, character, and conviction. Intentionally combining our Christian faith, Lutheran heritage, rigorous academics, and practical real-life experiences, we prepare students to fulfill a higher purpose in their vocations and life. Learn more about Concordia University, Nebraska at our website, cune.edu. That's cune.edu.